Michael. If you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful and grateful for the opportunity we have to study your word. And Lord, I pray that you would strike it deep into our hearts and that we would apply it in our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, for the first seven chapters in the book of Romans, the Holy Spirit is mentioned seven times. Not a whole lot, huh? We get to Romans chapter 8, and he's mentioned 23 times in just chapter 8. So, I guess what I'm trying to say is Romans chapter 8 shows us how to live in the Holy Spirit. And in fact, in chapter 8, he's called the Spirit of Life in verse 2. He's called the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ in verse 9. And the Spirit of Adoption in verse 15, which we'll get to because that's an exciting part of Romans chapter 8. But it is the wonder-working power of the Holy Spirit that saves us, that keeps us, that teaches us, that changes us. He continually testifies to us that we are the children of God. He gives us assurance that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. I'm just talking to you now about Romans chapter 8, folks. This is such an exciting chapter. We know our future is bright in Christ because we are completely victorious. We are more than conquerors. Now, last week we looked at the first four verses of Romans chapter 8. We talked about the experience of the Spirit life and that salvation is a product of God's grace. And looked at those freedoms that we have in Christ. We've been delivered from the sentence of sin. Verse 1 told us we have now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. We've also been delivered from the slavery of sin. Verse 3 says, he condemned sin, speaking of Jesus in the flesh. And in Christ, we're free from condemnation, we're free from the control of sin. And then when we get to verse 5, which we're our verses today, Paul addresses the matter of the mind. And the Bible is clear in the teaching of how we think determines what kind of person we really are. In fact, Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, for as you think in your heart, that's what you are. That's spooky, don't you think, sometimes? Whatever we focus on is what we're going to produce in our lives. If you think evil thoughts, you're going to produce evil actions. If you think godly thoughts, you'll produce godly actions. It's that simple. And the Word of God is clear when it speaks about the change that's needed in our mind. When we get to Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is fantastic. So Paul has established that Jesus freed us from the penalty of sin. His resurrection freed us from the power of sin. Over sin, but not just power to escape the penalty. He came back to give us power to do what's right. To do what's right. Romans chapter 8, verse 4 says, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, Jesus was raised from the dead so that we could be right with God in Christ. That we could fulfill the law. How do we do that? How do we fulfill the law? Well, Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, he said, don't think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So when we're in Christ, the law has been fulfilled in our lives. I talk to so many people who have never become Christians because they say, I can't live the Christian life. You ever run across anybody like that? I have. I got a newsflash for you. You can't. There's no way to live the Christian life. The only person who ever lived the Christian life was Jesus Christ. And I said last week, they crucified him. So we need to understand that. The Christian life is not our living for Jesus. Did you hear what I said? It's not our living for Jesus, but it is Jesus living in us and through us. Amen. So when you give your life to Christ, He comes to live in you so you can live for Him. That's the transfer. That's amazing. So here we begin in verse 5. We see the changes that the Spirit produces in our mind, and it will change every area of our life if we'll apply it. So look at verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things the Spirit desires. So the first thing Paul addresses is a contrast between the carnal mind, the fleshly mind rather, and the mind that's transformed by the Spirit of God. Two different types. Now, the idea of setting your mind on something is to desire it. You want it. Right? We either long for the things of the flesh, or we long for the things of the Spirit. If we're living according to the flesh, if I was living according to the flesh, my life would be all about me. My life would be focused on nothing but physical, nothing but material things, nothing but my own self-concerns. Oh, I may think about religion, all right, but it'll be religion based on what I can do for myself. Oh, I can think about God, but it'll be thoughts about how to approach God on my terms. Generally, my thoughts will be centered on ways that I can please me. You know, how to get God to do stuff for me. That's not the way to live, folks. The Bible teaches us that those without Jesus, that's how they think. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, Paul said this, "They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things. And they think only about this life here on earth." Folks, if that's not a title for today's society, I don't know what is. To live according to the Spirit, though, is to live a different kind of life. It's a dynamic change that happens to those who have been redeemed. The Holy Spirit begins to transform our minds. We have a new desire to please God. In Romans chapter 5, we've already seen this. Paul said, "You were once full of darkness, but now you are light of the Lord, so live as people of light." Live who you are. Live who you are. I mean, as Christians, don't we want the fruit of the Spirit to be shown in our lives? You know, love, joy, and peace, and that whole list that you find in Galatians chapter 5? Of course we do. We really do try to think about how to please the Lord. Now, we stumble from time to time. And if anybody says you don't stumble from time to time, you just stumble. But the great thing about it is when a Christian stumbles, the Lord's there to pick them back up.
Amen.
Psalm 37:24 says, "Though believers stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand." Hallelujah. See, these are people who love God and everything that pertains to God. They love His Word. They love the people of God. They love to come to worship the Lord. And the Spirit of God begins to redirect their thinking so that they begin to think spiritual things. Paul said in Ephesians 4:24, "Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created by God, truly righteous and holy." So I guess a good question to ask right about now is, what are the thoughts that fill your mind? What is it that fills your mind? Depending on how you answer that question, you can learn a lot about yourselves, can't you? Look at verse 6, Romans chapter 8. "So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your minds leads to life and to peace." What Paul's saying there is if your main focus is on earthly things, now I'm saying your main focus, you understand what I mean? It's the first things that you think about. Is your house, your car, your vacation, your job? Folks, you're headed for trouble. You're headed for trouble. Paul said, all of us used to live that way. This is Ephesians chapter 2. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. But by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Folks, that's a sad place to be. However, if you have the mind of Christ, if the Lord lives in you, things begin to show up in your life that says you're different. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul said this, "Since you have been raised to newness of life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about things of heaven, not about things of earth." Now, folks, I just want to warn you. Hopefully you've heard this before. I just hope we don't get so heavenly minded we're no earthly good. Yeah. You know? Because most people are the other way around. They're so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good. You know? So we need to be, you know, find that balance in there. Paul tells us that the carnal mind is an enemy of God. Look at verse 7 in Romans 8. "For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws. It never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God." Now, why is that true? Because the carnal mind wants to be God. That's the bottom line. She wants to be God. The carnal minded are opposed to godly principles. They don't want to hear that kind of stuff when you start talking. Because they're controlled by their old ways. They live for their old days. They have their mind centered on the old life, the good old days. Well, folks, the days are old, but as I look back in my life, there's not a lot of them that were good. They really weren't. They were a struggle. Do I still have struggles? You bet I do. You bet I do. However, this much I do know. The Lord has sustained me. The Lord has lifted me up. And because the thing is, the mind centered on that old life is so far removed from all that God is, they can't possibly please the Lord. The writer in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." You see, what the Spirit produces in us can't be duplicated by the natural person. You just can't do it. And since the flesh can't produce the spiritual, it only stands to reason that being carnal, you can never please God. No way. In contrast, the mind of the saved person finds itself drawn away from those things and drawn towards the things of the Lord. And believers find that they can really live a different kind of life. They don't have to live that old way. They can live so that they please the Lord and produce good through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, God sent Jesus because He knew we couldn't keep the commands. He knew that. And then Jesus sent the Holy Spirit so we could live a godly life. Jesus didn't just die to get us out of jail, folks. He came back from the dead so that when we got out of jail, we wouldn't keep doing things that got us in jail in the first place. If we're really followers of the Lord Jesus, we ought to live differently. We ought to walk differently. We ought to act differently than people who are not. People ought to be able to see a difference. Folks, there are no CIA Christians. All right? There's no underground Christianity. You either are a child of the King or you're not a child of the King. I was amazed this morning to hear about the idea when Jesus said, "If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father who's in heaven." And that used to trouble me a lot until I realized what He was talking about. He's talking about being a witness. And what Jesus said is, if you're not going to be a witness for me, don't expect to come to me, ask me to do something, and me take it to the Father, and you get it done. If you're afraid to deny me, I'm not going to answer your prayers. Folks, that's a scary position to be in as a Christian, isn't it? I mean, if nothing else, we ought to go out here, even if you have to start talking to the cars. I mean, go out and begin to let people know who you are and why you're here. We're different. We have something unbelievers don't have, and that is the Spirit of God. You see, we want to really be the best we can be, don't we? I mean, unless you're tilted the wrong way. I mean, you know, you really want to do the best you can. You want to be the best husband or the best wife or the best son or daughter. You just want to be the best person you can be. And the best person you can be is the person that God wants you to be. That's the best you can do. But you can never do that without the Lord. There's no way. So we don't need Jesus just to get ready to die, folks. We need Jesus to live. He lives in us, and He's the reason that we're alive. So the number one mark that you know you're a Christian, you're a true believer, that you're under grace, that you're not under guilt any longer, that there's no condemnation in your life, is this: the Holy Spirit lives in you. So how do we know that the Holy Spirit lives in us? I just told you, didn't I? You walk differently, you talk differently. All of those things. You live differently, and people recognize it. Folks, the Holy Spirit just doesn't come for a visit. He comes permanently. When we got Him, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We're His. We belong to the Lord, whether we like it or not. And I hope everybody here who is a member of the household of the faith likes the fact that they belong to the Lord. Now, we may not always go where the Holy Spirit takes us. But you know what? Everywhere we go, the Holy Spirit's with us. So, remember that wherever you go and what you do. Look at verse 9. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit if you the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. At all. See, the same Spirit that set us free from the law of sin and death lives in us and produces that mindset which moves us to do God's will, that pushes us towards God's will. And really, and the key to becoming a person that we need to be, that we should be, is that the Holy Spirit begins to fill our lives, and He begins to direct our lives, and then consequently we start listening. It's one thing for the Holy Spirit to talk to you, it's another thing for you to do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Amen. Don't dig in your heels if you know that the Lord's calling you to do something. In fact, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you this. What fills your mind? What are you thinking about right now? I don't want any answers. Look at verse 10. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Folks, we're about to get into the most exciting part of the Romans chapter 8. For me, one of the most exciting parts in all of the Bible. You see, anyone who claims Jesus is Savior and yet shows no change in their lives probably is not who they say they are. Now, that's not to say that we believers don't sin. We all do. We all do. However far salvation is real, we'll have a new desire to honor God by our life. And when we do fail, the Holy Spirit will drive us to repentance. John said, if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Spirit is the one that makes the difference in our lives. And even though our bodies are going to die, our spirits have been made eternally alive in Christ. Hang on, folks. You see, you can kill the body of